So I'm still trying to get organized, as you can tell. I want to save that. So, okay, before we get started, behold journals. We have a few. Let's take three tonight. We got to get to three before we can stop. So who would like to share something from their behold journal? Something they've... It doesn't have to be from your behold journal. It can be something God has revealed recently. Maybe you haven't had a chance to written it down, but preferably from your behold journal. Lisa. Oh, I'll be right back to you, Cindy.
Make sure we get to three.
Yes.
Spring has sprung. Nothing seems to behold more than spring. Just a minute ago or so it seems, things were... dead, dry, and dark. But now, behold, colors and new buds and blossoms are emerging, and all things are new.
Wow, that's perfect. Thank you, Lisa. That's great. Cynthia.
Behold, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person. And they with me, Revelations 3:20. And then I put on there, God is asking permission to come in. He wants to come into our hearts and have an intimate relationship with us, but he doesn't want to barge or bully his way in. God gives us the free will to make our own decisions about whether or not we want to be part of his family.
Ah, that's good. That's good. Y'all get extra bonus points because y'all worked behold into your journal entry. Ah, there we go.
Does it have to have the word behold in it?
It does not. You just don't get extra points.
No extra points. Okay. I'm not starting with behold. It was not in there. Okay, so this is a verse that was like stuck out to me in the Bible reading. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. That's Romans 8:11. Now, here's the thing, though, was I was already on the kick about how... I was thinking about recently, like during the Bible reading, about how like anxiety and depression and stuff is part of the flesh, and how like sacrificing that is, you know, like dying to the flesh includes dying to that, which is difficult. But this like whole like he brings life to them, like he brings life thing was like stuck in my head, and then I was kind of forgetting about it, and then today at work, I was having a really awful day. And we have this, like, public speaking class thing that we do, like a club thing that's, like, not during work hours. Anyway, so this guy was giving a speech, okay? And remember, this is a secular thing. And he was giving a speech, and he's, like, talking about his best friend and, like, how much he meant to him and stuff. And he goes, and then he died, like, 3 months ago. And he starts talking about that. And everyone was crying. And then he goes... But it's not over because we both knew God and we're both going to see each other in heaven. And he read this verse from memory. And dude, wow. Chills. I was like, okay, anyway, that was a weird thing. But anyway.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So, and we're going for bonus number four.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. Okay. I said at least three.
Okay, so this was a verse that I came across when I was looking at Behold, and I thought it was really fitting for our church and just in general. Psalm 133:1, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for participating with me each week in that. I have a little disclaimer. Tonight's message was in the works before Pastor preached his message on Sunday. I decided what I was going to be talking about before he preached. That may be why we don't turn it up as much on Wednesday nights, because I stand forward of the speakers. So let's go back to this, Randy. Sorry. I was trying something new, and it just didn't work. So, okay. Okay, if you were not here, I won't ask any questions. So if you're not here or haven't listened to Pastor's sermon from Sunday yet, I urge you to do so first and foremost. It was a really powerful message about knowing where you are in order to get to where God wants to take you. basically where you're going, because we want to go where God is taking us, right? And so it was just a really powerful message. And he talked in that message, he talked a little bit about self-examination, knowing whether we are living as the natural man, right? The spiritual man or the carnal man, knowing where we're at on that journey. Of course, if we're in some of those, we may not know it, right? But in order to know these things, we have to be willing to ask ourselves questions. We have to be willing to dig deep inside of us and go inside of us and let the Lord dig some things up that sometimes aren't as fun as we would like them to be. So we have to be able to reflect on our lives spiritually, materially, emotionally, really holistically is what I'm talking about here. And so knowing ourselves well, or at least being willing and open to getting to know ourselves well, is key to deepening our relationship to God. Sorry, that is really distracting me. As if you couldn't tell. I'm not sure it did any good. Oh, maybe it did. Let's pray. Father, oh, we just give this night to you, God. You know what you want to speak to us. You know what you want to impression upon us, God. You know where you want to lead us. So, Father, we just open ourselves up to you right now, God. We just open ourselves up to your movement, your word, your spirit, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. You know, sometimes you just have to take a pause, take a moment to breathe and to pray, no matter what's going on. That's all the way throughout the day. So, knowing ourselves well, or at least being willing and open to getting to know ourselves well, is key to deepening our relationship to God. But just like getting to know other people takes time and energy, of course, and a lot of work sometimes, getting to know ourselves well also takes a lot of time and energy, or can, which we don't seem to have much of these days. We barely have time to talk to our kids sometimes. We barely have time to talk to our spouses sometimes, or our colleagues at the job we get paid to work at, and the people we get paid to work with. Heck, sometimes we barely have time to do the job we were hired to do because of all the extra duties we've collected over the years, whether they've been assigned to us or whether we've just picked them up, right? So how in the world are we going to make time to get to know ourselves? So some of you might be in that camp. But others of us might think, how can we not know ourselves, right? I make all my own decisions, or I like to think so. And I like to be proud of that. I'm my own man, right? I say all my own words. I think all my own thoughts. What do you mean I don't know myself well? How is that even possible to not know yourself well? Well, do you ever say something out loud and think, what in the world did I just say? Where did that come from? I would say you don't know yourself well. And I would hazard a guess that that's the majority of us, if not all of us, have done that. Possibly even today. I'm stepping on toes, evidently. How about, did we ever respond unlovingly or impatiently to someone and then wonder why we did it? Because we weren't sure. Rebecca and I, thankfully, have these discussions sometimes where we recognize pretty quickly, man, I don't know why I took that attitude. I'm sorry. I'm not ticked at you. I'm not angry. I'm not frustrated. At least not with you, but evidently something's going on and I'm not sure what. So maybe I need to think about that for a minute. We tend to get better at it the more we do. Or I won't even talk about the driver behind you on the way over here or the one in front of you on the way over here. I'm sure the only one that ever has any of those issues is me. So, Lamentations 3:40 says, let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord. We're told many places in the Bible, and hopefully I'm going to get to quite a few of them, to test and examine our ways so that we may admit our wrong, correct it, and then turn back to the Lord. That's ultimately the goal, right?
Repentance, doing a 180, turning around, making a U-turn. Recognize I'm going the wrong way, make a U-turn, go back after getting right with God. So self-examination is key. Now, when I say self-examination, it's easy to think this is a formal process. And we are going to talk about a formal process tonight called the daily examine. And we have new spiritual practice guides for you tonight at the end of the night. So we are going to talk formally about self-examination, but it doesn't have to be formal, right? As we get familiar with self-examination, as we start doing it more, as we start being more comfortable with it, and there's several reasons we're not, and I'm going to talk about those for a few moments, then it becomes a natural part of our rhythm, natural part of our day. We start thinking about the things that we just did or the words we just said and why we said them, and we can start seeking deep down to have God reveal why we're doing those things or why we did that, and then make amends right then and there with that person or even just with ourselves and God, right? So self-examination is key to becoming more like Christ, ultimately. Self-reflection, contemplation, it's all in the same vein. It's all part of how we grow in Christ. So as we continue our Behold series, an important part of being able to behold God is to be tuned in, not only to Him, right, to God, but tuned into ourselves. And because we can't be driving around DFW making a fool of ourselves all the time and still grow in Christ, although some of us can do that back and forth, right, teeter-totter, grow in Christ, idiot, grow in Christ, idiot. It happens. If we're not recognizing the areas we need to grow in and seeking forgiveness and being transformed, that is what's key to growing in Christ. So, do you know why? Because self-condemnation comes in, right? We are the kings and queens of self-condemnation. Our enemy, Satan, is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy, and he does that inwardly inside of us, in our thoughts, right? In the words we say to ourselves and the thoughts we say to ourselves. He doesn't want us to make way. He doesn't want us to make headway in our relationship with God. Two of the biggest things he uses to do that is shame and remorse or guilt. So shame and guilt. Those are the two of the biggest tools of the enemy to keep us from growing in Christ. Who am I to think God could love me? Man, I screwed up so bad yesterday. I can't ask God for forgiveness again for the same thing that I did the day before or the same thing I did last week. Guilt and shame lead us to doubt the love of God and to question his commitment to us. We become skeptical of how and why he would even want to love us, little alone whether he actually does. I've talked about skepticism and cynicism quite a bit. But that's why it's important for us to recognize God's love and stand firm in it. Right? So it's not only about self-reflection, which we are going to talk about and go over a little bit more deeply here in just a moment, but we've also got to know and stand on and recognize God's love. And so we are going to talk about Psalm 139 tonight. So I want to urge you, because we're going to look at the whole chapter, the whole psalm, if you will, 139. So if you want to pull your Bible out, your phone, the Bible's in the book. We are using the New Living Translation. I mean, in the chair. The Bible's in the chairs. 139, New Living Translation. We'll get there in just a moment. So while you're doing that, it's not going to be on the screen, by the way. That's why I'm telling you, if you want to pull it up, that'll be fine. But I'm going to give you a moment. Before we get to that, though, and while you're pulling it up, Psalm 139, I want you to know I have I already told you about the spiritual guide. And so it's called the Daily Examine. Examine is how I've always pronounced it until I heard somebody who really knows what it is talk about it today. It's called Examine is how the teacher that I read or listened to today pronounced it. But you know what? It's a daily review. That's really what it is. It's a daily review of our walk with God. And so self-examination, we've been talking about spiritual practices, and self-examination is a spiritual practice. The daily examen is a spiritual practice. Discerning God's presence within your days is kind of the byline here. And so I'm going to introduce us, really, to self-examination through the lens of Psalm 139. So also as we read, I want you to be aware of several sections of this because you may not catch it shifts, and you may not even catch it. I'm going to give you a few sections to pay attention to, but you may not even catch it as we read through it. So I'm going to highlight those to begin with. In verses 1 through 12 of, and again, we're going to go through the whole thing so you don't have to read it yet. Verses 1 through 12 are all about recognizing the presence of God. There's no place we can leave the presence of God. This is broken down into God's omniscience, right? Seeing and knowing everything we do, as well as God's omnipresence. Everywhere, all the time. Being everywhere, all the time. First six verses, omniscience. Omniscience. Second six verses, 7 through 12, is omnipresence. Verses 13 through 18 are celebrating our created goodness. We are created beings in his image. So verses 13 through 18 are talking about God's omnipotence. And then it ends with David recognizing the wickedness that's around him and asking God to handle it. He's not asking God to let him handle it. He's asking God to handle it. But then he also, at the end, asks God to examine him and reveal the sin that he has inside of him. Right? To reveal if there's anything inside of him that he needs to deal with. So it's not only taking care of these people who are coming against David and sinning against David. It's also saying, oh, but by the way, God, search me and know my heart and reveal to me what's going on inside of me where I need to deal and get right with you. So just kind of keep that in mind as we go through this. And we're going to start, like I said, in verse 1, and we're going to read all the way through it. And then we'll talk a little bit more. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. Here's a shift now, right? We're starting to talk about his omnipresence. He's everywhere. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Then now another shift starts to happen. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb, celebrating the goodness of how we're created, right? Verse 14, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. O God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. But yet, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. those transitions, I've never recognized them before. I'll be honest. I've never recognized those transitions before. And I've read Psalm 139 a lot, or at least pieces of it for sure. But it's so important that we start from a place when we're doing self-examination or anything. It starts from a place of beholding God, beholding him in awe and reverence, knowing and trusting, right? His omniscience, his omnipresence, his omnipotence, and really even his justice, right? Because that's what David was praying for also, God's justice. So as we review our day, we may come across moments where we want justice for people. We may want justice for those people who have offended us. And we think we're right to want it. But it's best to leave that to the Lord. We must also recognize our propensity for sin within our own lives also. Because in those moments, many of us choose to have thoughts and say words and maybe have actions that don't line up with the Word of God. And so God wants us to see ourselves clearly. And there are times in life where God gently nudges us, right, to take longer and deeper look into the mirror of our souls in order that he may reveal the false beliefs of our enemy, the things that the enemy are speaking to us that are false, that are not God's truth for us. And God wants to replace those things with truth. But unless and until we identify them, we go on living in guilt and shame and honestly not truly living at all. Guilt and shame are the opposite of life with God. When we feel guilt or we feel shame, that's not God speaking to us. God's conviction stands on his truth. It doesn't stand on what we're doing wrong. It stands on our awe. It stands on beholding. It stands on us knowing God. It stands on its own with God's truth. But guilt and shame are lies. They say we can never be all that God wants us to be, so why even try? They say, why even talk to that person anymore? Because every time I do, I say something wrong. Or they misunderstand me. Ruth Haley Barton, in her book Sacred Rhythms, says, and I'm going to be reading a lot of quotes from her, says, this is a most challenging element of the spiritual life, one that most of us shrink from with more than a little bit of dread. We're talking about self-examination here. Some of us, actually is what it's supposed to be, some of us have been so shaped by shame-based family or systems that we resist entering into deeper levels of self-knowledge for fear of feeling debilitated by shame or swept away by remorse. Most of us in this room have been there, probably, I would say. At one point or another in our lives, guilt and shame have been so strong in us that we do nothing but sink back into the couch and want to start that next Netflix episode. That's an easy decision when you're feeling guilt and shame. At least it is for me. But then it just gives you more to feel guilt and shame about because you're not dealing with the thing that you should, in your mind, should be dealing with. Maybe guilt and shame is so strong that it's led us into depression. Maybe we can't even get out of bed for fear of more failure. And more failure brings that feeling that there's no way if I keep failing, anyone will be able to love me or God will ever accept me back. Barton goes on to say, for others, our sense of worth is so fragile or our perfectionism so pronounced that we are not sure we could bear facing the truth of our own darkness without becoming completely unraveled. Shame and guilt bring a hopelessness that focuses only on the present moment or the past. Shame and guilt always focuses on what we just did. Ultimately, it really is the past. Shame and guilt. We can have shame and guilt about things that we're being tempted by that we have yet to make that decision for. But most of the time, it's about the past, a decision I just made, even if it's 30 seconds ago or 3 minutes ago or 30 days ago, 3 years ago, stuff we've taken to God 10 times still keeps coming up with shame and guilt. We tend to remember the past with the clarity that's unmatched for all of our great memories, right? We're gonna remember 10 times that we did things wrong or incorrectly, maybe more, maybe 100 times for every one time we have a good memory. Those aren't stats that are scientifically proven. That's just, I'm just using those. But I have read lots of books that say close to that. It's much easier for us to remember the past mistakes than it is the good things we've done and the good things we've experienced. And we're hopeless to think it's ever going to change. We're hopeless to think that we can ever change when shame and guilt are in the room with us. Barton goes on to say, and yet, meaning though this is the case, even though this is how we feel, and we do feel hopeless at times, and yet, one of the deepest longings of the human heart is to be known and loved unconditionally. We long to know that someone knows everything about us and loves us anyway. We long for a love that is strong enough to contain our frailty and sinfulness. Something in us knows that such love is a transforming power. We are a people, we are persons built to long for and know the unmistakable love of our Creator. We are endlessly valuable to Him, and unstoppable love is what He holds for us. He does not stop chasing us because of His love. And it's the transforming love of God. We long for it. We know that if we can experience that kind of love, where we are truly known, even our darkness, and we are truly loved on top of that, we will be forever changed. And just a little side note here, when we experience this kind of love, we're expected to help others experience it also. Sometimes we tend to forget that. As we experience God's love, His transforming power, His transforming love, one of our jobs, one of our callings in all areas, no matter what we do for a job, whether we're a minister or a traffic clerk or a policeman or whatever else we do, one of our callings is to help other people experience that same love. But to help others experience it sometimes requires us to offer it to them ourselves. Right? God's love's supposed to flow through us. Okay. We really must be the conduit that His love is able to pass through. Barton goes on to say, the problem is that most of us aren't willing to take the risk of being seen so completely. There is always something we're hiding for fear that we will be rejected in the end. We may have gotten close to the possibility of this kind of love at one time or another, but we haven't known how to let it penetrate our defenses so that we can receive it. All of us would prefer to have the experience of unconditional love without having to take the risk of letting someone know us that well. We want the reward, we don't want the risk. We want the result without contributing to the process. We want the miraculous love of God to rescue us and bring us to that point of being transformed without having to get up off the couch. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you were in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. Examine yourselves, not me. First John 1:8 and 9 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Self-examination helps reveal things inside of us that are not big sins, that are not so easily recognizable. We know when we cuss the guy out of the convenience store, God's not happy with that, right? We don't have to question that. But what about that thought we had about the neighbor two doors down who won't turn their music down at 11 o'clock at night? Do we consider that the same way? So self-reflection is about letting God reveal in us areas and things that we do. And it's not only about the errors. We'll get to the good things in a moment, right? But again, this is why it's so important that we stand on God's word, that we know his truth, that we know our value in him as we stand and go into self-examination. Because if we don't, guilt and shame are going to come into the picture, which is going to spiral us downhill. But when we enter into praising God, as David did in Psalm 139, right? Recognizing his love, recognizing the way he's created us to be, recognizing our created goodness because we are created in images of him. When we stand on that and we enter into that, then we know shame and guilt and remorse is from the enemy. Doesn't mean we're allowed to stay there. God wants to bring us out of those things and grow us and transform us. But we have to know about those things in order to grow, in order to seek forgiveness, and in order to seek transformation. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve." That can be used as a very... the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Yes, it's wicked, right? And so if we just leave it right there, it can seem almost like a hopeless situation. It's desperately wicked. Who am I to think I can change my wicked heart? It's me. It's right here. That's not what God says, though. Psalm 139, 23, and 24, which we just read, "Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting." There's assumptions that we're going to take that information, we're seeking that information, we're going to take that information, and we're going to get right with God, possibly get right with the people that it applies to, if anybody, and lead me in the everlasting way. Okay, I'm good on time. Proverbs 4:20 through 27. What would it look like if we were to think of our self-examination in terms of this? So as we read through this, think about self-examination. And I may be making a connection within myself that you all don't get, but hopefully that's not the case. Proverbs 4:20 through 27, it says, "Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil." Next slide. I thought that was more than that. Oh, sorry, the previous slide. Did I read them both? Okay, let's start over. Here we go. This is the first slide, I think. Yeah. "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil." Those things can almost be a guide to our self-examination. It's not a checklist. It's not meant to be a checklist, right? Proverbs 4:20 through 27. But when we examine ourselves and let God guide us and lead us and be our judge, there won't be shame and remorse, but instead conviction and forgiveness and correction that help us fix our eyes on the one, fix our eyes on the Creator God. So I want to spend the last few minutes going over the spiritual guide, because this daily examine, it's about helping us in self-examination. And it's a practice, okay? And it's a thing that we can do daily, preferably at the end of the day, to review. It's called a daily review also as another name for it, but that's a more informal name. So think of the daily examine, and this guide processes it as a five-step process, although it's much more fluid than that. The first thing is we just have to become aware and still of God, right? We have to be still. We have to be in his unconditional love. We have to sit in it and soak in it and know that God is with us, right? We have to know that he loves us. Like Psalm 139 started, we have to know how he created us. And then we just want to review the day in gratitude. And this is one way of self-examination, okay? This is one way. Review the day in gratitude. So as we settle into the silence with God, we take a moment to reflect on these things. You might sit down for 20 minutes and then journal about it as you do this practice. Some people do it while they're brushing their teeth. Maybe while they're showering before they go to bed. Maybe while they're gardening, cutting the old dead blooms off their flowers before they end for the night. There's many ways you can do it. This guide talks about it in the way of setting 15 to 20 minutes aside, but don't get stuck on that. The goal is for you to find what works for your rhythms, but you can still use the components of it, right? So become aware of God's presence, review the day in gratitude, and then notice the moments when God's presence felt close. Right? Notice those moments when God felt the closest throughout our day. Was it certain people we're around? Was it when we were doing certain things? Was it when we were listening to certain music? Was it when we were praising him in a certain way or in prayer? What part of the day helped us feel really close to Christ? Right? And so that I say step three, but that's all part of reviewing the day in gratitude. And then after we do those things, notice the moments when God felt distant or even absent. And you got to take that a little deeper, right? What was I doing? Why did he feel distant at that moment? If I can realize, wow, I did not feel close to God when I did this or when I was talking with this person or having this conversation. And why was that? Did you snap at your kiddos or impatiently respond to somebody? Was there something stressful about what you were doing at that moment that you just turned away from God? Maybe it was gossip. Were you protecting your eyes and your heart, your ears from certain things? So this moment specifically is not to become overwhelmed with shame and guilt. We've already talked about that, right? Because we're sitting in God's presence. We're letting him reveal these things to us as we're going through them. Because we can go down the rabbit hole of shame and guilt and failure. And it can lead to more shame and guilt and failure. And it can even lead to numbness. If we have problems with certain addictions, it can lead us to things that we don't want to be led to. So we have to balance it out. We have to make sure we're setting in the love of God and the truth of God as we go through these. And then step five is to look ahead and hope for tomorrow, right? How is God part of the process of recognizing God's goodness? Because when I do this tonight, I may see many opportunities that I could have drawn close to God, but I chose to push God away. But tomorrow, I may make a better choice. And so tomorrow, now I have opportunities to celebrate growth. And so it's important that we take time to notice where he felt closest and notice when he felt far away. Because as we are transformed, as we grow, we're going to start recognizing more of those moments. And so we have to be thankful for those moments also. And we have to finish by knowing his truth. Romans 8, 38 through 39. No matter what our self-examination revealed during that time, remember, no guilt, no shame, no matter what it revealed, Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." He's the only anchor point of hope, and he's the ultimate lover of our souls. We have to be anchored in him in all that we do. So, as we leave here tonight, I just want to urge you. It goes back, a lot of the things I've talked about, silence and solitude and the different types of prayer, spending time alone with God, 5 minutes, 50 minutes, journaling, maybe, any of those things. It's about understanding the unmistakable love of God, and we can't do that when we're rushing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've got to take time and behold our Savior and let him even behold us, if we can say that. He loves us that much. He beholds us also. Father, we just come to you tonight. God, we just thank you for beholding us, God. Thank you for wanting to behold us, God, your creation. You say we are created a masterpiece, Father. We are a work in process. We know that, God, but you are creating us to be a masterpiece. And so, Father, we just submit to you tonight, Father. This may not be for all of us, Father, this daily examine or whatever, Father, but search us. And help us to know what is for us, Lord. Help us to know ourselves so that we know how to approach you in deeper and closer ways, Father. Know how to come close to you. Know how to walk with you in better ways, Father, in deeper ways, God. Help us to know ourselves and take time to ask ourselves the questions that sometimes we're afraid to ask, Father, but help us submit those times to you. And help us to walk in the truth of your word and in the truth of your love for us as you reveal those things to us, Father. Protect our hearts, protect our minds, protect our spirits, Lord, from shame and guilt and negative emotions and condemnation, Lord. But help us to experience your love and grace and mercy the way you offer it, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we just thank you for doing all of these things, God. And we thank you for equipping us and helping us to glorify you, God, as we interact with our family and friends and neighbors and colleagues, Lord. We thank you that your love passes through us, Father. Help us to be conduits of your love like we never have been before, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it. Love God. Love people and have a great week.